Jerusalem hast not known these things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And so he calls them slow of heart, jump down to 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? My question to you this morning is, your heart burning for the Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. I ask, Lord, that you bless us and that you bless the preacher of your word now in the few minutes that we have left, and that you'd be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord puts a very, very high price on the heart. David said, my heart is fixed. And he said in Psalm 51, create unto me a clean heart, O Lord. In 2 Peter, the Bible there says that the hidden man of the heart, which is in the sight of God, of great price. So what we see and what the Lord sees when he looks at you is different. I see you, but he sees your heart. And that is what he holds in the most high regard. And oftentimes we don't put as high regard on the heart as what God does, and that to our shame. That is why Solomon said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. And I found that to be true. The longer I'm in the ministry, I can tell you this. People will do, and you will do, and I will do, what our heart tells us to do. Not always the best thing, not always the right thing, not always what you're counseled to do, not always what the Bible says to do, but you will do what your heart says to do. Guaranteed. People lose heart, and they lose heart, and they quit. You can give them principle, you can preach it, you can teach it, you can show them, it's obvious, but if they lose heart in it, it doesn't matter. It's dead words, it falls down, and it's done. You lose your heart, you lose your ministry. You lose your heart, you lose your fervency to God. You lose your heart, and you lose your Christian walk. Your heart is of the utmost importance. The events that here in Luke 24 take place Sunday morning. The Lord had risen, was only a few hours away from his actual resurrection. He took time to meet these people on the road to Emmaus. There was a lot of discussion going on in Jerusalem. They thought that the Lord was going to give him their kingdom back again. They thought that before he left, they were going to have a worldwide kingdom, the Jewish people were. When that didn't happen, they were discouraged. Discouragement is a killer, and it affected their heart. And now, instead of being in Jerusalem, where he said to be, now they're going away from it, and they're on a road to Emmaus. Undoubtedly, nothing wrong with Emmaus. I'm sure it's a fine town. I'm sure that's where their work was. I'm sure that probably that's where they're from. And just like Peter that said, I go fishing, well, what else are they going to do? If it didn't happen the way they thought it was supposed to, well, then they have to carry on with life. And they just went on with life again. Well, that's what these men are doing. But Jesus cared about them, and he loved them. And he met them on the way, and he took some of that precious time between the resurrection and the ascension to deal with these two men in particular. Thankfully, it says in verse 32, their heart burned within them. So he said they were slow in heart, but after they met the Lord, it burned within them. See, the problem that these men have, they didn't perceive it. It's a problem for all of us, a potential problem for every single one of us. And we have to be careful. Unless you keep your heart fervent for the Lord, you will not do what you're supposed to do. If you allow your heart to be taken, and this is our responsibility completely, then it's over. So they maybe didn't perceive what their problem was. They didn't understand it. They needed the Lord to go to him, to go to them and to show them these things. You might ask, well, what's the danger? So what? I let my heart go. I'm okay. Well, you'll make bad decisions. And one bad decision will lead to another bad decision. We've seen it before. I've made bad decisions. I've had to get right. You will too. But it's your heart. That's the key. You lose your first love if you lose your heart. You make bad decisions if you lose your heart. You miss out on all the Lord has for you if you lose heart and you lose your influence with people. I've heard it said before that when you begin your ministry, you have a pocket full of change, as it were, influence. And every time you mess up, you got to pay for that. And you mess up again, you pay for that. Eventually, you've got no money, you've got no influence, and you're done. It's over. If I had no influence as a coach, I couldn't do anything with the men on the team. If I had no influence as a teacher, I couldn't do anything. Your influence is important. And you lose that influence when you lose heart. And this is so very important. Daily, you have to keep your heart right. You have to perform a preventative maintenance on your heart every single day. And if you don't, you'll lose it. And you won't know it. And that's the bad part. These men, they didn't realize it. They thought, well, I guess we were wrong. We'll just go back and do what our life was before. They didn't think there was anything wrong. They were confused, weren't they? In fact, when the Lord approached them, they looked sad. They even said that there were some women that said that they saw the Lord alive again after he had been dead. That should have been a source of joy, but instead they were sad. It should have been rejoicing, but instead their countenance fell. It was because of their heart, and the Lord confronted them with it. Did you used to get, if you're going to be honest with you, with yourself, it's not always that way. And we need to have maintenance. Maybe you got a lot more out of the services before. Maybe Sunday morning, Sunday evening were a blessing. Your Bible reading, maybe that was a blessing to you at one time. Maybe good Christian music really got to your heart and you teared up over what the Lord has done for you. Maybe when you saw people, you saw souls, that's kind of waned a little bit. Instead, they're just people. Before, you'd sin and your heart would be smitten right away and you would get things right away. But then excuses happen. Not as heavy anymore as what it used to be. You've gotten over that. Your prayer time with the Lord before used to be wonderful times of praise, and you knew you were led by God's Spirit in what you said, but that's waned a little bit. This is evidence of the work of the Spirit. And if you're saved, you know what I mean. And if you're saved, it's been that way. I can remember when I first got saved. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember thinking, I can't believe what's happened to me. And I knew that I had direction in my life, something I didn't have before. And I can remember putting in a tape. It was a cassette back then. And I listened to that thing, and I wore it out. And I remember the tape would come out, and I'd have to wheel it back in again, and I would stick it back in there again. And I would listen to those things, and the sound quality was horrible. But I would listen to it, and I can remember driving down the road and tearing up, and just tears of joy. It was wonderful. David said, restore unto me these things, the joy of thy salvation. I wonder if somebody here maybe is not as fervent as what you used to be. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe it's been a while since you really, it's really gotten to your heart, just an overflowing of joy and love for the Lord. You need to get that back again. You need to get that back again today. In fact, I'd say there isn't anything more important. So how do you do it? Well, thankfully, Luke 24 is here and it helps us with how to do it. So let's talk of then how to keep your heart burning for the Lord. Number one, you need to realize your need of repair. And this is obvious, but in verse 25 and 26, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter his glory? The Lord went to these men, knowing that their heart was wrong and they needed him. We need the Lord's help here. He initiated the meeting. He went to them. They were on their way away from Jerusalem. And so the Lord took time. Can you sense the Jesus' love for these men? He cared about them. He knew that they weren't going to see. In just a little bit of time, they're going to see unbelievable things in Jerusalem. Not in Emmaus, in Jerusalem. And he took the time to turn them around and get back again. That's wonderful. He cared for them. He loved them. He took time, as I said before, in that precious time after his resurrection, to meet these two men only. He didn't abandon them. He loved them. He cared about them. And here's the thing. You will get this way. You will. It's going to happen. Nobody can go without it. And when that does, the Lord will speak to you, and he's going to show you, and he's going to tell you not what it used to be. And you'll sit there listening to a sermon, and the Lord will say, you know what? You need to get back right in that area. You're wrong there. You're not what it used to be. Sure, you go out on the bus route, you go through the motions and all of those, and you put up the front. But and like Isaiah said, I believe it was Isaiah, their lips, they approach unto me, but their heart is far from me. And Jesus loves you enough to bring you back again because he cares about you. And he knows that in the future, there's some wonderful things. But if you lose heart, you're going to lose those things, but Jesus doesn't want you to lose it. He cares about you. So he's going to make sure that you perceive it. So get ready. The Lord will speak to you this way. Realize then your need of repair. Number two, And I'm going to spend a little bit of time here. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The writer here, through inspiration, thought it necessary to say Jesus himself. That very Jesus himself, him. He personally did that. My point is this. In order for you to get your heart back fervent and burning for the Lord, you have to stay in the place where God can deal with you. I think this is so important. In the Bible, there's a place always for somebody. God had a place for Abraham to go. He didn't tell him exactly where it was, but he said, I want you to go there. There's always a place, always, always, always. And if you're at the place where God wants you right now, then you're at the place where he's going to mold and fashion and make you. It's not always so easy. It's not. But I'll tell you something. This place is a training ground. Training is never easy. Boot camp is not easy. Okay. The training camp is not easy. It's not a simple thing. You've got to get back at it again. And it has to be done right. And you're going to be faced and confronted with things that are difficult. But God's molding you. He's making you. What ends up happening sometimes is people lose heart and they leave the place where God has them and they don't get to the place where they burn fervent for the Lord anymore and they kind of fizzle out and that's just the end of it. That's not what God's will for your life is. You have to stay where God wants you to be. And I think I've given this testimony before, but I'll just give it again. I was supposed to be called to Spain. I thought I was. I believe I was. I still believe I was. And we were supposed to go there. When I'm not going to give the whole thing, but it kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, the bottom kind of fell out of that. Circumstances were such that I didn't know if that was the Lord's will anymore. So we had sold everything. We had a house. I had all kinds of things. We sold everything because we were going to go to Spain. Well, when that happened, I didn't have anywhere to go. I can remember being I had a 2000 Dodge Caravan, and I was pulling a trailer, and I had my kids and my wife in the car, and that's all we had. And I didn't know where to go. So I went to my father-in-law's church because I knew at least they'd give us a place to stay. So I went there, and I spent 2 years in a very, very difficult place. It was hard for me because I thought I failed the Lord. I thought I was supposed to be in Spain. I messed up. I had meetings lined up. I had to go and call all of those pastors again and tell them to cancel those things. That was a very hard thing. It was a humbling thing. And I thought they're going to rail on me and all of you. No, that wasn't the case. Every single one of those men, with the exception of one, said that they understood and they encouraged me. So we went there, and so I said, well, now what am I going to do? And so my wife's looking to me, well, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? I don't know. So I thought, well, I got to figure this thing out. I rented a campsite, and I went there for 3 days. I just read the Bible, and I prayed, and I read the Bible some more. I think I got from Genesis all the way to Isaiah. I just read and read and read and read and read. And the whole time, and here's the thing, the Lord left me there. He just let it happen. It was a lot of turmoil. It was a lot of difficulty because I thought I was a loser. I thought I let the Lord down. Here my family expects me to lead them. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. Only thing I knew is that I should read the Bible and pray. That's all I knew, and go to church. That's it. That's all I knew. But he let me sit there. He let me stay there for 3 whole days. And then finally, towards the middle of maybe the third day, he just said, go home. Okay. Where I don't have a home. So he said, go back to your family. Okay. So I get there. Hey, what does God want us to do? I don't know. He just told me to go home. So then what did you do? I got up and I read the Bible and I prayed and I went to church and I tried to find a job and then I started working in the church, and I don't know. God left me there for 2 years, not really knowing. And then, of course, I got the call to come here. But the point is this. That was a molding time, and that was after Bible college. The Lord doesn't stop shaping you and molding you. But that was important. That was an important time for me. I can say that through all of that, I learned a lot. A lot of things I learned that I probably wouldn't have learned and known otherwise, but it was a very difficult time, and I dealt with it. It had never been that way. Always before that time, it was very obvious what I was supposed to do next, and God would say, okay, do this, then do this, and it was easy. It was simple. For the first time, it wasn't so simple and it wasn't so easy. And that was on purpose. But I can say this, that through it all, I was where God wanted me to be. I knew that. And although I knew I wasn't going to stay maybe in some of those places, I was still where God wanted me to be. And he was working on me and he was teaching me and showing me things. And I nailed some things down. And it was, actually, I can look back and say, I never, ever, ever want to go through something like that again. However, it was good for me. Well, if it happened to me, and if things like that happen, then it'll happen. Then God's going to shape you. I can say that because I continued to at least listen to preaching and I didn't give up on any of those things, I can say that my heart was always with the Lord. And that's one thing I can always say. And so the Lord helped me through that time, and he can help you through that time. But if you leave the place where God has for you, you will not burn for the Lord, and you'll fizzle out. These people, these men on the road to Emmaus, were going the wrong way, and they needed to get back to the place where the Lord could deal with them. So you need to realize your need of repair. Number two, you got to stay in the place where God can deal with you. Number three, look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Number three is you need to fear the Lord and have a renewed respect for his word. You have to have a renewed respect for the word of God. You need to reestablish in your mind that this is absolute truth, and it is God's word, and it is true in every single thing that it says, whether we can understand it or not, whether we, whatever. You have to renew that. In other words, you've got to reestablish it. You've got to say to yourself, no, this is God's word. It is truth. And when I'm listening to it preached, and when I'm listening to it taught, and when I'm reading it, I'm reading absolute, complete, and utter truth in every single way. But that takes faith. It takes faith. But you've got to renew that. And these men needed to hear from the Lord. The problem with their hearts stemmed from not having a proper relationship with the Word of God. They didn't listen to the Word of God. Jesus had told them repeatedly, I'm going to die. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And then it is so. It was supposed to have been. Even the Old Testament talks about those things. These men should have known those things. The Lord told them when they were there. But it is as if they were deaf to it. Well, they needed to get back again. They needed to hear it again. And the Bible here says that the Lord went through and expounded unto them. That idea expound is just to make them understand the sense of it. All the things in the scriptures concerning himself. He probably spent a long time there. But that's what they needed. He opened up and he said, look what it says in the book of Isaiah. Look what it says in the book of Jeremiah. Don't you remember what it says in the book of Daniel? Don't you remember what it says here? Don't you remember what it says here? And they listened and they listened and they listened and they listened and they came to the, and their hearts started to stir. And God's word is the only thing that will really do that. Jeremiah said that is not God's word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. In his heart, he had said he wasn't going to preach anymore, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Notice what he says, it was in my heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, I'll just read it, starting in verse 9, dealing with this idea. It says, and being made perfect, talking about the Lord, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. So he says, we have many things to say, and some of them are hard to be uttered. Why are they hard to be uttered? So here, the author of Hebrews is talking about the Lord, and he says that many things we have to say, this is regarding God's word, and some of them are hard to be uttered. Why? It says, seeing you are dull of hearing. It's hard to say these things to people who are dull of hearing. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, nor become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. God wants you to grow past this idea in relationship with God's word where it's just milk. It needs to be meat. Even those things that are hard to be uttered, even those things that are difficult, you need to figure them out. And you need to move on. And you need to move on and advance in your knowledge and understanding of God's word. And this has a direct connection to your heart. And he says, teach you again. I think that's interesting. It's not something else. Oh, that didn't work. Let's try something else. Nope, it's the same thing again. You don't get it, then you get it again. If you still don't get it, then you get it again. And if you still don't get it, then you get it again. And it's just like practice. We would go through something over and over and over and over again. They're not getting it. They're not getting it. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Blow the whistle. Do it again. Blow the whistle. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again until you get it. See, it's not something new. It's not a different way. It's the same things over and again. You need to nail those things down. You need to know and have knowledge and understanding of God's word. And if you do not, and if you don't advance in that, your heart will grow cold. It says strong meat, a full age. You need to start to mature. You need to start to understand those things. It's not enough to say, well, that's not important. No, it is important. If it's in God's word, it's important, and you need to know it. You need to advance. Jesus took the time to expound on them. He just didn't tell them, you know, you're slow of heart to believe these things. Your problem is your heart. You need to get your heart right. See you later. He took that time and he expounded unto them. That word expound is he really gave it to them. And he helped them to understand. And he called them fools, slow of heart. Every time you hear the word of God, you have the responsibility to strive to understand it. The more we shut our ears to God's word and stop studying and try to understand, the more our heart will lose its fervency. No question about it. And then number four, keep Jesus in front of you. Look at verse 28. And when they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. That word constrained, they tried to convince him to not go. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, brake, and gave it unto them. And then their eyes were opened. But before, they were leaving Jerusalem. Jesus comes and he speaks to them. He sees that they're sad. And then he stops them, as it were, and he begins to expound unto them the scriptures. Then they want him to stay. They liked it. They wanted him to stay. They wanted to hear more. It began to get into their heart. It began to do something. In fact, they themselves said in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Do you know what that means? The heart burning within you? Has that ever happened to you? You know what that's like? You ought to. Because I'm going to tell you something. When your heart burns within you, it's going to move you. That moves you. That's what does it. And I'm not talking some pie in the sky thing. I'm talking about solid bedrock doctrine and truth that burns in your heart. These people wanted the Lord to stay with them. Sometimes it's not so easy to see the Lord in things. But you know what you need to do in those times? You need to work at finding him. Maybe you got to tear out all the brush and the rubble. Maybe you've got to redirect yourself. Whatever. But get your eyes on the Lord and don't stop until you get that to that place, until you can see him again. And if it means what it means, then that's what it means. If you need to get out somewhere and get off by yourself and to redirect yourself, then that's what you do. Because if you lose heart, you're in trouble. That's why the author of Hebrews says in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Never lost sight of the Lord. Excuse me. Anyway, I think you can understand that. So they wanted the Lord, where before they were far away from it, but then they wanted the Lord to be in front of them. And then lastly, let the fire of Jesus move you. Let that fire, let it move you. Look at verse 33. And so the verse 32 says that their heart burned within us while he talked to us by the way and while he opened us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour. And what did they do? They didn't just sit there. They rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. I think that's amazing. That very same hour, it didn't matter how far they were. It didn't matter what they were doing. It didn't matter what their plans were. They needed to get back to Jerusalem and they were moved to do so. And they got up and they returned again. And they found the 11 gathered there and them that were with them. You see, they moved and they let that expounding of God's word move them. They allowed it. See, what happens is this. Sometimes the Lord works on your heart in some way, but then you let it fizzle out. So it's a great service, and the Lord moves, and then after the service, you start to talk about sports, or you start to talk about this other thing, and you throw a big bucket of cold water on what God is trying to do, and you don't allow yourself to be moved by it. You got to remember. You got to get back again. You got to look at those scriptures. You got to talk about it. You need to let it stir you up. Many times we don't do that. And that's why I think in 2 Thessalonians it says, quench not the spirit. Maybe you're stagnant. Maybe in the beginning you were excited about some things, but that excitement was, it kind of fizzles out. It was more emotional maybe than anything. And you're making it, but you're plodding through. You're dragging through, like your feet are going through the mire, and you're just going through that, and it's difficult and it's hard, but it's not a burning desire, it's not a love, it's not an excitement of what God has in the future. You need to get stirred up. You need to get stirred up again. And if you don't have normal maintenance, regular maintenance, you're in trouble. Well, what happened to these men? Thankfully, they ended up getting back again. And the Lord told them at the end of the book of Luke, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that in all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So, then he tells them to go and to stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And I don't have time to go into it, but I think you know that these two men saw what the Lord did in Jerusalem because they went back again. Now, what if they hadn't? What if they stayed slow in heart? What if they had stayed on the road to Emmaus? What if when the Lord spoke to them about these things, they said, well, you know, or they quenched the spirit, or they didn't allow the fire of the Lord to move them or anything like that? They wouldn't have seen those blessings, but Jesus loved them, and he wanted them to see those things. And so he turned them around again, and they got back to the place where they could be, and wonderful things happened. So I'll ask you again, is your heart burning for the Lord? Are you fervent to desire to serve the Lord in the way that he wants you to be? If not, you need some maintenance, and you need to take care of that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. I ask, Lord, that you bless us. We're grateful for your love for us. We're thankful that you care about us, and we look at these two men on the road to Emmaus, we see ultimately that you loved and cared for these men. You wanted them to have the benefit of a fervency in serving you. You wanted them to have that, and you expect that of us. You consider the hidden man of the heart of great price, and this, our affections and our desires should be towards you, and when they are not, and we need to get redirected. And so, Lord, I ask that fervency would be there, that you restore those things, that you'd help those of us here, to perceive when that is not the case, and that you'd help us to get back into a right relationship with your word, to remind ourselves of the absolute truth that is contained in the Bible, and that we'd strive to see you through circumstances or things, to see you in everything, and that we would allow that fire to move us and not quench it, but to keep it going. And so, Lord, help us understand our need, and bless us this day. In your name I pray. Amen.